Get ready to become inspired. It's Magnificent Time with your host, performance coach, Floris Kiley. Listen to successful entrepreneurs, authors, coaches, and business experts. Learn strategies to help you reach your highest potential and to inspire you to create the kind of life you desire. Ready to become inspired? Let's welcome your host, Floris Kiley.
Well, hello, hello, magnificent people, and welcome to Magnificent Time. And I have a question for you. And that question is, what is your what? What is your what? If I asked you that question, what would you answer? And that's what we're here today for, because we have an amazing guest, and he is Steve Olscher, who joins us to reveal his proven process that has helped thousands cultivate a life of purpose, conviction, and contribution by identifying and creating a plan of action for bringing the one thing they were born to do to fruition. So I think this topic is so relevant to anyone, whether you are in the beginning stages of your business or you have already had a business for a while. This is important because knowing exactly what your what is will allow you to really have a clear direction for success. So let me tell you more about Steve. Steve Olscher is known as the world's foremost reinvention expert. He is famous for helping individuals and corporations become exceptionally clear on their what, and that is the one thing they were created to do. His practical, no-holds-barred approach to life and business propels his clients toward achieving massive profitability while also cultivating a life of purpose, conviction, and contribution. Steve is a 25-plus-year entrepreneur. He is a chairman and founder of Liquor.com, an online pioneer who launched on CompuServe's electronic mall in 1993, a New York Times bestselling author of What Is Your What, and also of Business Technology Book of the Year, Internet Profits. He is also the host of the number one rated radio show and podcast, Reinvention Radio. He is an international keynote speaker and an in-demand media guest who has appeared on CNN, The Huffington Post, Entrepreneur on Fire, and countless other media outlets. Wow, what a great life you've had, Steve, and how much change you have created in our world and the lives of others. So welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And as I was saying, I'm so intrigued about this topic and what you decided, the reason, first of all, that you decided to write this book. And I'm also interested in knowing, maybe toward the end of the show, like, how did you figure out what your what was? And was that the motivator for you to write this book? So why don't we start with that?
You know, in author land, they say that you write the book that you most need. And so for me, it has always sort of been that question of what is it that I'm good at? Who am I in this world and how am I naturally wired to excel? And so after going through various you've probably seen some of those tests like the Myers-Briggs and books like What Color's Your Parachute and some of those types of modalities. I went through a lot of those, and truth is they all left me with a lot more questions than answers. And so, you know, that's really why I started digging into this arena, to try to create a framework that would be easier than some of what was out there and really give people something that they could do fairly quickly and hit the ground running with clarity around who they are and really what it is that they can do in this world that can make a massive difference, not only in their lives, but of course in the lives of others.
Yes, love that. And you said two keywords, clear framework. And as I read your book, I love that about it, that it's really structured. You kind of work with the content, and you actually do your own internal work. And that's how you figure out the solution. So I think that's what makes it so so effective. So now for those who are listening who haven't read the book, if you had to summarize the process of figuring out your what, what would be like the most important phases or steps that somebody would have to follow?
Well, you know, the first step really more than anything else is just to embrace the notion that you have, in fact, something that you're naturally wired to excel at, you know, and I think that that's where a lot of people get thrown off is they just don't ever really stop to embrace the notion that there is, in fact, something that they have the ability to do that is uniquely their own. And so that's really step number one in my way of thinking is you've just got to sort of be willing to turn on the light switch and recognize that there is, in fact, something for you to do that moves you probably beyond where you are in your life right now in terms of the impact that you're having and being able to leverage the gifts that you've been given. So, I mean, that's really step number one is just get to the point where you wake up and you go, you know what, there's something more for me out there.
I think awareness of that, and that, recognizing that is there requires, a lot of work. And I think a lot of courage, though, because sometimes we give ourselves that excuse and say, well, you know, I'm really not that good at anything. So I might as well just kind of keep doing what brings in the money and just get by. And, you know, we never really recognize that there's a gift inside of us. And I'm really passionate about that. So would you say that when you figure out that, yes, there must be something that you're meant to do, that you're wired to do, it will always lead to a complete change in direction? Or sometimes people do realize that what they're doing is right for them.
You know, it really does boil down to embracing the notion that change just doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you could gain clarity on what you or what is tomorrow, and it doesn't mean on the following day you're going to be able to be living that and have your life be exactly as you want it to be. I mean, that's just the harsh reality. And what I know is that as you look at where you are in your life, if there are people right now who are ostensibly paying for your existence, whether it be through your job or through a trust fund or whatever it might be for you, it's really important not to cut that off simply because you wake up and figure out that, you know, this is what you really want to be doing. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to try and put yourself in a position of adding pressure in a situation here where you have the opportunity to do something pretty magical. But if you add the additional pressures of having to pay for your expenses and feed those miles that are depending on you and so on, you're going to have a rougher go at really bringing your what to fruition. And so from my way of thinking, you never really want to be in a position where you basically quit the day job. You know, I mean, there's plenty of time to transition from where you are to where you want to go. So let somebody else fund that transition.
Correct. That's right. No need to add pressure to it. I found myself that every time I do something because I need quick results that have that, you know, that pressure, then it never works out the way I wanted it to be. It ends up being either not as good or a failure. So you bring up a very important point. And that leads me to ask you then, when you made, did you make a transition from being a corporate employee to having your own business? Or did you always have your business? And how did you make that transition if you did?
Yeah, I've always been wired as an entrepreneur. And so So for me, there never really was a transition into doing something that was monumentally different in terms of, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, that was monumentally different than what I was doing. The truth is that the scenery changed, but there was never really a point in time where I didn't feel as though being an entrepreneur was something that I didn't want to do. I mean, it always was wired into who I am, that I'm going to do what I need to do to make ends meet and do what I need to do to create something that is fulfilling for me. And when you come right down to it, I don't think any of us really get to a destination. I mean, I think it's just always going to be a point of evolution. And that's how it's always been for me. It wasn't simply a matter of just waking up one day and saying, you know, this is what I want to be doing. I had no choice. I mean, I'm just naturally wired in a very specific way. And for me, that is as an entrepreneur. So I never really had the opportunity to be somewhere and then wake up one day and go, you know, I can't do this anymore. I have to go out on my own. I've always been out on my own.
Right. In different ways. And I'm thinking what you said, it's just so important though, that yes, the world is changing, situations are changing, and then you are evolving based on those changes. And I think that's one of the keys to success. Because yes, you could have started your first business and say, you know, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. Here I am. And then, of course, you probably wouldn't be in business now, but you have changed with the situation, with what you feel is right for you. And I think that's just a secret for success for sure. The evolution versus destination. I love that. Yeah. So, would you say as we go through that evolution, is there a way to keep track of where we're at? You know, some people say, well, you know, maybe you'll change what you want to do and it's okay or no. Once you have a goal, you have to just keep trying and make it happen. How flexible do you think we should be? And how often should we assess our progress to see if we're following the right path?
Yeah, you know, that's going to vary from person to person. I do think that some people just do much better with having very specific goals and objectives. And others do better just simply kind of flying by night and just doing what they do when they do it. And they don't really worry about anything other than just what's happening right here and right now. And so I think it really just depends on the person. But I do think historically that if you look at those who are successful, they do lay out specific goals, specific objectives, and become very clear of where they are on the path towards achievement, whether it be a day after they created that goal or a week or a month or a quarter or a year or whatever it might be. And so from my perspective, I do think it makes the most sense to continually track where you are on your path of progress and be, you know, put out some goals that are a stretch for you. And I think that at the end of the day, it's tricky, you know. I mean, it's tricky to balance creating a goal that is far-fetched and creating a goal that's realistic but still stretching yourself. And I think that the more that you can create realistic goals that stretch you, the farther that you're going to go. Just there's no doubt about that.
I agree. I actually was recently participated in the summit for book marketing, and I was talking about guest posting, and the host asked me, well, So she would start with really small sites, you know, try to pitch to them. And then, you know, as months go by, try the bigger sites. And I said, well, why not pitch the large sites right from the start? I mean, if your writing is of high quality and you follow their guidelines, why not? You know, I think what matters is that, first of all, we have a, you know, a clear objective, as you said, and that we feel that it's possible for us. It's about visualizing success and seeing ourselves achieve that. And, you know, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of a lot of success. Now, there's something, Steve, that I noticed you have done throughout your entrepreneurial life, and that is to study what successful people do. When you wrote your previous book about internet marketing or internet success, you work with people who have done it. You have been in the space. And I think that's, again, another key to your success. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that and your experience as you have interacted and met all these great people?
Yeah, I mean, Tony Robbins, I think, was the one who first said success leaves clues. And so what I've been able to do and what I've been fortunate enough to be able to do through the live events that I put on and the radio show and other, you know, other things that I've got going on, I've been able to connect with people who by all definitions have achieved what we would look at as success. And so what I believe is that if you can try to surround yourself with people who have been where it is that you want to go and can help you get there faster, then you'd be a fool really not to have those types of people in your life. And so I think really more than anything else, what being around some of those types of people has taught me is that there is, in fact, a right way and a wrong way to accomplish your goals or your objectives. And the truth is that you can go it alone, you know, and you can try to figure it out by yourself. But I think if you look historically at those who are most successful, they do, in fact, allow others to pave the path for them. And most of the time, those who have reached ridiculous amounts of success haven't gotten there by being the first one there. They've been, you know, they've been able to get there by replicating the actions of those they admire.
That is beautifully said, and I perfectly agree, because you know, it's easy to want to reinvent the wheel and, you know, to want to do it all on our own and to be creative, you know, it's, oh, no, I'll just come up with something that has never been done before. And yes, that is possible. But as you said, there are ways to get to where you want to be a lot quicker. And if other people have done it, then why not? Why not model the steps they took to get to where they wanted to be? So now, people who are listening might be thinking, okay, yes, I know I need to figure out my what, but they don't exactly know what that looks like. So can you talk to us about some people that have figured out their what and, you know, they're actually acting on it and making, you know, the world a better place and just, you know, having the life that they always wanted. And what exactly does that look like?
Yeah, and it's certainly going to vary depending on the person and what their particular reason, you know, for being is, because you could have someone who, like a Mother Teresa, who really just wanted to share kindness and take care of those who needed taking care of. And that might not be how you define success. I mean, we all have our own definitions of what success is, right? And so as you look at the what is your what equation, which is comprised of your gift, which is really the one trait and ability, if you will, that separates you from the other beings that walk the planet. And the vehicle, the primary vehicle that you use to share that gift with the world. And then the third piece are the people that you're most compelled to serve. If you look at those three pieces, the gift, the vehicle, and the people, what you'll find is that there are people out there who simply want to make a difference in the world by leveraging what that gift is in a way that others may not necessarily resonate with, right? And so I don't want people to get caught up in feeling like there's sort of a universal approach to how to create and share and monetize what your what is. Because ultimately, when all is said and done, the only thing that really matters is if you wake up with a fire in your soul and what your what is feels like something that there's not enough hours in the day to fulfill. And if that is the case, then you have been able to get to where it is that is fulfilling for you and you were destined to go. So what I really want people to take away from this more than anything else is that there's not one right or wrong answer, and there isn't just simply one what that you're going to have, if you will. It is something that takes place continuously throughout your life in terms of it's an evolutionary process. Your gift will certainly remain the same, but the vehicle that you use to share that gift and the people that you're most compelled to serve, you know, those certainly will change over time. And there are countless examples of people who I've worked with and tens of thousands over the years to help them discover what their what is. And there's certainly some examples that I love sharing. One of my favorites is there was a woman who came to the Reinvention Workshop, which is a live seminar, if you will, that I taught for about 6 years. And so she came to one of the Reinvention Workshops, and she knew that her gift was healing. I mean, it just was her natural gift, but she already just kind of felt like something was missing from the puzzle and she didn't know exactly what it was. And as we went through it, it became very clear that her gift was right. I mean, healing was definitely her gift, and the vehicle she was using to share that gift of nursing was certainly right. And it felt good for her. But what was off were the people that she was most compelled to serve, she wasn't able to identify. And as we went through the what is your what equation, it became clear that the people that she's most compelled to serve are the disadvantaged elderly. And once she became clear that she really wants to serve the disadvantaged elderly, she was able to move from working in a general administration hospital to working in a veterans administration hospital, where she was working with the disadvantaged elderly on a consistent basis. And that really has made all of the difference for her over the past, 5 years now.
That's awesome. And that's the huge difference is how you feel about yourself, which, as you said, that's what makes, makes us feel alive, really, when we wake up and we're eager to do what it is we do. And I love the fact that the equation is so simple, because I know that powerful things are simple. And the equation to figure out your what it really is, you know, your gift, figure out your vehicle, and then the people you're compelled to serve. Yes, it's simple. Of course, it requires, some steps to achieve each one of those and patience and be able to grow and learn, because, again, it's not an overnight process. Now, when you mentioned the people that you are compelled to serve, there's something that I actually always have to talk about when I have a new client, and most of them want to serve the world. They say, let's say somebody wants to help people overcome life challenges. Oh, well, I think anybody could benefit from what I do. And as they, I have to go with them through that difficult process to narrow down the actual person that they want to help. So have you found, Steve, that there's something common that, that is kind of difficult to figure out at the beginning, at least?
Yeah, you know, I do think that most people struggle with one part of the equation, sometimes two, and, well, actually sometimes all three. And so what I recommend that people do is they start with the one part of the equation that they really feel comfortable with in terms of being able to identify what that answer is. And so for some people, they may have clarity around what their gift is, or they may have a sense around what their gift is. So if that's the case, then you can start there. If you have clarity around the primary vehicle that you want to use to share that gift, then you start there, or maybe you start with the people that you're most compelled to serve. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter where you start. You can start with the gift, the vehicle, or the people. I would just simply say get started with whichever it is that you feel closest to the answer on.
Yeah, that's awesome, because I think once we get the process going, and then once we feel we have achieved something, okay, I figure out my gift, then you're empowered to go ahead and figure out what's next. But if you're stuck, you know, it's like, okay, I don't know, then of course that's when things start to get difficult or to become difficult, Steve. And I was actually thinking, is there a special or a specific time in our life when it's essential to figure out our what? You know, should that be something that everyone should know by the time they graduate college, or even before they go to college? Or, you know, is there a best time in our life to figure that out?
Well, no. I mean, I think what ends up happening is you simply hit that point in your life. And for some, that may not come until their final days, and others, it can come very, very, very early. But I don't think there's a specific time or a right time per se that it makes sense to begin pursuing or figuring out what your what is. I think it varies for different people. I mean, sometimes you have to be in a job you don't like for 10 years before you wake up and you go, you know, there's got to be something more for me. And there are other times where people know right from the get-go that they have this what, if you will. And, you know, those are people that I call birthers. I mean, they really have known straight out of the womb who they are and how they're naturally wired to excel and what they want out of life. And so there's not really a right time or a right place, but usually for most people that I work with, it happens after a period of time where they're just ready to make a change from what it is that they have been doing to something that would be more fulfilling.
Yeah, exactly. Completely agree. Again, it's a matter of your personal journey. And that personal journey might involve, you know, several big changes. And back to the topic of reinvent, you know, we talk about, oh, we have to reinvent ourselves and so forth. Would you say that is like a one-time occurrence, and does reinvention involve a huge change? You know, I'm going to go from being an accountant to, you know, an opera singer, or could it be something a little bit more subtle that really represents a reinvention of how we feel about ourselves?
And that is exactly what happens, is you find that you have people who were an accountant, and then they realize that that's just not what they want to be doing for the rest of their lives. And they become a singer or whatever it might be. It happens all the time. And frankly, it happens at any age. And so I do believe that there is something to be said, something very much to be said, for just embracing the notion that it may not happen today and it may not happen tomorrow, but just be open to the possibility that at some point it may happen that your desire to discover what your what is exceeds that of your desire to stay where you are. And so just be open and willing to embrace that could happen at any point. And it could, in fact, be something where you are in one career and you end up in a completely different career.
That's true. And as you said, we have to reach that point that the pain of staying in our current situation just is too much, and we're kind of compelled to make a change. And, you know, it's tough, but that's the way it works in many situations, most situations in our life. So, Steve, we're running out of time, and it's flown by, really. And I just wanted to ask you a fun question that I always ask my guests, and that is there something that most people don't know about you that you'd like to share?
Well, I will say this, which is I am an avid motorcycle rider. Always have loved the motorcycles, so do a lot of riding, and I'm a brown belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is basically a kind of a crazy sport of grown-ass men basically trying to kill each other and break limbs and separate their necks from their heads and those sort of things. But yeah, you know, those are the kinds of things that that others may not necessarily be familiar with in terms of who I am and what I do.
Well, that's awesome. So if you see somebody riding a motorcycle in a jiu-jitsu outfit, then that's Steve. Then you know that for sure.
That would be me.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show, Steve. And, you know, if you're listening, you're ready to make that change to reinvent yourself and to find your what, you definitely want to read Steve's book. So just to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you, how to get the book, would you please tell us what is the best way to reach you, Steve?
Well, I would definitely say if you go to whatisyourwhat.com/free. So whatisyourwhat.com/free. That'll get you started there with grabbing a free copy of the book, you know, the New York Times bestseller, What Is Your What? Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. So definitely start there. And then you can check out Reinvention Radio or Steve Olsher, OLSHER.com. For more ways that we might be able to help work with one another.
Well, that sounds awesome. And, you know, you can't beat that. You know, Steve spoke for free, and all you have to do is go to whatisyourwhat.com/free and get your book there. Just get started. That's a really strong first step. So thank you once again for your time, and, you know, a pleasure to have you on the show.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on. Keep up the amazing work.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody. Remember, every second of your life, reveal your magnificence.
Now it's your turn to take action and reveal your magnificence. This is Magnificent Time with Cloris Kiley.